Welcome to the Holistic Beauty Podcast. We are going to chat all things holistic and integrative beauty and skin health. We are licensed naturopathic doctors practicing in sunny California, and we are changing how skincare is looked at. We want you to understand that skin health is a manifestation of balance from within. And each week, we are bringing you tidbits to complete your skincare routine from the inside out and the outside in. So let's get into it.
So just as a reminder, the information in this podcast is not medical advice and is only meant for educational purposes. None of the information is meant to treat, cure, prevent, or diagnose any conditions or disease that you may have. So please speak to your doctor or licensed healthcare provider before starting anything new. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Holistic Beauty Podcast. So in today's episode, we are bringing on another guest speaker, Dr. Fiona McCulloch. She's a naturopathic doctor, and she's going to be talking about how to address PCOS acne with holistic medicine. Dr. McCulloch is a licensed naturopathic doctor and the founder of White Lotus Integrative Medicine. It's a busy clinic serving thousands of patients with hormonal conditions in Toronto, Canada. She graduated from the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine in 2001, and prior to that, earned her Bachelor of Science in the University of Guelph, where she focused on biological sciences, molecular biology, and genetics. Holy cow, that's amazing. Dr. Fiona has a special interest in treating polycystic ovary syndrome, aka PCOS, and she is the author of the best-selling book, 8 Steps to Reverse Your PCOS, which provides well-researched options for the natural treatment of this condition. Dr. Fiona also enjoys speaking and teaching, and she has served on the board of directors of the Endocrinology Association of Naturopathic Doctors, and is a popular speaker for many professional conferences. So in today's pre-recorded interview, we're going to be talking about what PCOS is. We actually have spoken about this in the past on our podcast, and we do know that PCOS can manifest as skin issues like acne. But those of our listeners who don't know what it is or haven't listened to that episode, we're going to cover it all again. So we're going to be talking about what PCOS is and how common it is. We're also going to be talking about underlying causes and triggers for a holistic point of view on PCOS and how to address PCOS with naturopathic medicine. Going to be diving into diet, lifestyle, all that fun jazz. So here we go.
Hey, Dr. Fiona. Thanks so much for joining us on the Holistic Beauty Podcast. I really appreciate it.
Great to be here.
So we're going to be talking all about PCOS. You are the PCOS expert. Like, you speak so much about PCOS on Instagram. And as a naturopathic doctor, I'm just really excited to talk to you about all of this, you know? And on the Holistic Beauty Podcast, we focus on, as what the name says, holistic beauty. And we do know that PCOS is linked to acne. But before we dive into like acne and PCOS, for our listeners who don't know what PCOS is, what is it? And also, like, how common is it?
Yeah. So PCOS, the full name for it is polycystic ovary syndrome. Despite the name, it's not really about ovarian cysts. It's actually a hormonal condition. And it's a very common condition. It's estimated something between 10 to 15% have PCOS. And it's really centered around androgen excess, which is too much hormones similar to testosterone. We know testosterone the best, so I always use that one as the example. But there's a whole family of hormones like testosterone, and it can be any of those hormones that are too high, and it causes a whole array of different symptoms, basically.
And what do those symptoms look like for people who don't know?
So the symptoms really vary from person to person, but the most common are menstrual cycles that are far apart or that don't come at all. That's a very common symptom, particularly in younger patients. We also see a lot of the skin symptoms of too much testosterone. So that would be acne, unwanted hair growth on the face, and certain types of hair loss, mostly that involve the front part of the scalp.
And then I know that, so we've spoken about PCOS in the past here on the podcast. It was in season 1, I think. And then we also spoke about how there are like some underlying causes. There are some like known triggers of it, but like it seems like we don't really know what's causing it. Would you say that's right?
Yeah, it is right, actually. We know a bit more about why we think it happens. And a lot of it is kind of new, what we know about it. So basically, it is very inheritable. So basically, we see very high levels in families, mothers and daughters, for example. And there are some genes that are associated to getting PCOS. So these are genes that often revolve around androgens, like too much testosterone production. Or some of the genes actually revolve around insulin resistance. We do see a lot of what we call insulin resistance in PCOS, where patients have a lot of trouble losing weight and gain weight very easily around their midsection. They're at risk for type 2 diabetes. So those genes are in there too. And then the other factor, which is very new that we've learned about, is something called epigenetics. So basically, that means that the environment can turn those genes on. And in particular, it's thought that as we're developing in utero, anything that we're exposed to might actually set the stage for us to develop PCOS. Is in particular, too much androgens in the in utero environment. So that would be like if the mom has PCOS, or actually also things like plastics, like bisphenol A and environmental endocrine disruptors. So plastics and other chemicals that can affect our hormones. This has been shown to induce PCOS if a fetus is exposed to that while developing at certain times. So it's really interesting. And it's thought that these are the main causes.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting because I'm thinking like, we do have the genetics involved, right? Like what you said. And there are these things that actually trigger the activation of those genes that could play a role in PCOS. And I'm thinking like, you know, as a holistic expert or as a naturopathic doctor, all of us are naturopathic doctors. I'm thinking like, what are some things we can do at the end of the day? Like we can't control like when we're in the womb, right? But then are there some things that we can do once we're outside of the womb? And then actually, before you dive into that, like when do people start to experience these symptoms of PCOS that you spoke about earlier? And then going to the question, like, how do we start to address those things?
Yeah. So when we're developing as a fetus, basically, so our ovaries develop and then, you know, everything goes dormant basically for many years until we get to puberty. So we don't really see any of the hormones during that time. A lot of the time people notice the symptoms when they go through puberty. So that's when everything activates and the androgens start. And the different phases of puberty, the first phase is actually a more androgen dominant phase. It's called adrenarche. And that's when the adrenal glands start making androgens. And then after that, the ovaries also start making all the different types of hormones like estrogen and androgens. There's also some insulin resistance that happens before we go through puberty so that we can gain weight basically to reproduce. And that combination of the androgens and that weight gain seems to trigger up all of the symptoms. And that's where a lot of patients will first see it, is really just as they go through puberty. So they'll start having those symptoms. But they have also been able to see some changes even in children, mostly around insulin resistance.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting. And in your practice, when you do see patients, like what is the patient population like age that you tend to see when actually like when they start to see you, you know, for PCOS?
So I see patients at all stages, but I really love to treat patients at puberty because you can do so much to just affect the entire, like the onset and the whole way the whole disorder progresses through life. So I love that when a mom brings in her daughter who's got symptoms, that's great because I can do so much. But I see patients even in menopause and past menopause who have PCOS and still have these symptoms. So it's really a lifelong thing. So
I was actually going to ask you that, like, when do people stop experiencing symptoms? Because I know like at menopause, like hormones do shift, right? But then there's also like an androgen heavy, like that's when like androgen's pretty like high, right? So I'm curious to know, like, I was about to ask, like, does PCOS still happen in menopause?
Yeah. And this is like one of the things that, you know, it was always thought of as sort of like, oh, it's a reproductive disorder. And once you have kids, don't worry about it. It's done. Right. So, but now they've found very clearly that patients still have it even past menopause, that androgens are always higher than other people who don't have PCOS. And the other problems that persist past menopause are all the metabolic problems like insulin resistance, heart disease, diabetes. But at menopause, it's really interesting. Even if we're thinking about the skin, a lot of the time, you know, we have very low testosterone when we go through menopause. It goes down. And even that's the case in PCOS. But we also don't have any estrogen or progesterone at that time. We have more testosterone compared to those hormones. And that's why you'll see a lot of people saying, oh, you know, I'm growing hair on my face and it doesn't make sense, or I'm getting acne. And it's really because of that relative difference. And then in PCOS, that relative difference is a bit more even. So, and sometimes we even see the androgens go up again in this phase, especially the adrenal ones like DHEA. So it's a really interesting process through the whole life.
It's actually really interesting because you were just speaking about like hormones, and we do know with PCOS, there are certain like labs that can be done. And I'm actually really curious to know, like when you see patients in different phases of their life, like do those labs change, and what labs do you end up doing with your patients?
Yeah, so I definitely run the androgens at all different ages, but the reference ranges for androgens really are not age adjusted for the most part here in Canada anyway. So basically, you have to sort of know what they should be like at that age to see if they're really high or not, because if you're past menopause, it's never going to look high, but it would look higher than average, you know, if you have PCOS. So I still do run those. And the ones I like to do the most are total testosterone, androstenedione, which is a precursor for androgens, DHEA. I sometimes run DHT, which is a strong type of testosterone. Sometimes I will run either sex hormone binding globulin or free testosterone. And that sort of shows you how much of the testosterone can actually access the skin. So that's a really interesting one to do as well. And then in patients who are still reproductive age, I'll do FSH and LH. And these are done at the beginning of the menstrual cycle. And the ratio is usually that the FSH is higher than LH. But in PCOS, it's flipped the other way around, where the LH is higher. And LH causes the ovaries to make testosterone. So it's one of like the causes of the testosterone production.
That's actually really interesting, because you were just speaking about like DHT and free testosterone and how that is linked, or that can cause like the dermatological symptoms that people experience in PCOS. So it's going to be like that cystic acne, you know, and then also that, what is it, the head hair loss. So I'm really curious, yes, to know, my friend, as a naturopathic doctor, like, what have you done to address these symptoms? I'm just really curious.
So it's very individual. So what I find with things like testosterone is those symptoms bother different people in different ways. So for some people, they'll be really bothered by, you know, their hair. And then other people are like, they don't mind that much. So firstly, I always look at like how much of this is actually causing your symptoms. And then I look at, you know, just as we're naturopaths, we really look at it as a whole picture. So rather than just to give an anti-androgen, which may or may not be all that effective, depending on what's triggering them, I'll look at all the different factors in their case. So if a patient has insulin resistance, meaning that they gain a lot of weight around their stomach area, around their organs, there's fat. And that actually is a big problem because it causes the ovaries to make more testosterone. And the other thing is it lowers that binding protein called sex hormone binding globulin. So it really makes the testosterone much more powerful. So I always address that. And then I look at, you know, the case individually. And, you know, if it's something like acne or hair loss, we look at, you know, anti-androgens, but then also that comprehensive approach, just like you do in dealing with things like acne.
Yeah. And then I'm actually really curious to know, in your professional experience, have you seen like lifestyle and diet being like big contributors or like big helpers to people who experience like these dermatological symptoms? Or do you feel like some other naturopathic like modalities have been more helpful?
Yeah. So if a patient has insulin resistance, the effect of exercise and diet is massive, and nothing else has that effect that this does for those patients. But, you know, then there's also patients who are not insulin resistant, and a lot of them are being told online, you know, oh, you need to go on the keto diet or eat less and exercise more. And they're already doing all that, and they've still got symptoms. So it doesn't work for them, you know, the same way. So it really comes around to addressing the issues they have. for, you know, many patients, I use cyclic progesterone, which is a really great natural anti-androgen. So for patients who have, you know, they're not ovulating on time, they have cycles that are far apart, the progesterone actually lowers LH, and that can lower testosterone. So that's another treatment I'll use. Inositol is another one that I use a lot. N-acetylcysteine. So I try to touch on the supplements and treatments that really suit their type of PCOS. And for each person, that's really quite different.
I hear you. And it's actually really cool to hear you speak about these nutrients, specifically with inositol and NAC, because there's some really cool science that says it also helps out with like blood sugar levels and insulin. And like what you said earlier, to circle back on that, it seems like insulin does play a role in some of the PCOS symptoms, you know, which is so cool.
Yeah, insulin, if someone has that problem, it is probably like the strongest factor of all that they can, you know, work on. And insulin also like directly affects acne. So it's such an important hormone to manage. And the best way really is like diet and exercise. And some of those supplements like inositol, NAC, berberine is another one. So yeah, it is really powerful. So if someone has that, they should really, really focus on that. It's like a low hanging fruit. It'll give them a lot of results.
And then I was doing some research in regards to like diet and PCOS, just like trying to understand like, oh, is this diet better than the other one? And there is some literature actually speaking about the ketogenic diet, right? But then we do know the ketogenic diet can actually negatively affect some hormones in some individuals. And I'm wondering, like, have you seen like some of your patients be on the ketogenic diet, see any changes? And then there's also like literature saying that the anti-inflammatory diet, or like, a Mediterranean diet might be helpful. So is it like, do some people respond better to certain diets? Or is it just like, is there a one size fits all from a naturopathic perspective?
Yeah, so I think really lots of different types of diets can work for PCOS. And I think the problem comes down to it's a lifelong condition. So these changes that are made have to be lifelong. And a lot of like diets that we see, like keto, for example, even though that might help with insulin resistance, most people can't keep doing that for a long time. But there's lots of other diets that help with insulin resistance. And really, if the insulin resistance is there, it's just about finding the right diet that balances blood sugar. So I always have a macronutrient balanced diet with protein, healthy fats, lots of vegetables, and a kind of moderated amount of carbohydrate so that the blood sugar doesn't go up and down with that meal. And basically, those foods can be really flexible. So that's what I generally use, which is a kind of anti-inflammatory diet that's also balanced with glycemic index. But you know what? Any healthy diet that reduces basically like the energy overload in the liver, which is really center in insulin resistance, can help. So some people do great with like a plant-based diet because they can sustain that. And some people do great with keto because they might lose abdominal fat when they're on that, and that might work for them. So everyone's like a little bit different, but I find most people can't sustain restrictive diets forever. So it's usually something that we work individually with just to find something really sustainable for them.
Totally feel you, Dr. Fiona. I personally tried the ketogenic diet. Have you ever tried it?
Yes. And I felt horrible on it.
So it is so hard to sustain. I was like trying to figure out like, oh my God, like what do I eat? And I was eating bacon cheeseburgers every day just to hit those like fat goals. I'm just like, this is not good for me. This can't be good for me at all, you know?
No. And it was so interesting. So I've tried so many different things, you know, just because I feel like if I'm working with patients, I need to try all these things myself, right? So I'm, you know, you're probably a guinea pig too, just like me. So basically, I did the keto diet for about a week. And then by the end, I started to feel horrible. Like I was having trouble functioning. Like I was just so tired. I wanted to lie in bed all day. And I was like, this doesn't work for me. But I'd never felt like that on any diet before. And then I did my genetics testing and I found out I have this genetic SNP called MCAD, which is I have one copy, which means I can't shuttle fats very well compared to other people. So I was like, oh my gosh, that's why I felt so horrible on that. And, you know, it's just a thing that a lot of time we don't really know if we have these things. So we do have to listen to our bodies, especially when you're doing something it's very unusual, you know, to do keto. It's not like a natural diet for people. So you know, if you feel anything like that, maybe something is up and it's not right for you.
Yeah, like I always tell my patients, if they're not feeling great on a diet, you should listen to your body, you know, and tell your doctor like, oh, like this diet isn't working for me. Because like what you said earlier, to circle back on what you said, there's so many options that can be done as a naturopathic doctor or from a naturopathic point of view, not only in regards to diet, but there's also like supplements. And then in the last few minutes of this episode, I'm also really curious to know, like when you do speak about exercise with your patients, like do you say like certain things that they should, shouldn't do? Because there's some really cool literature about like certain types of exercise.
Yeah. So the first thing is really like the patients who are very lean, they benefit from exercise kind of like anyone else would. It doesn't make the big dent in their PCOS like it will for patients who have insulin resistance. So sometimes I see that people are like, they're already working out like 5 days a week. They're like, I need to do more. I need to add HIIT every day on top. But that doesn't work for them. But like for patients who are insulin resistant, it makes a huge difference. So there's lots of really interesting data. There's a lot on strength training that's really beneficial, showing it can reduce androgens. There's some, you know, higher intensity cardio training been shown as well, HIIT, to help with androgens. But the way that I see it, it doesn't matter all that much what type it is. It just matters that the person can do it consistently for a long time and that they like it enough to keep doing it and not quit, because it is that lifelong thing and not everybody likes every kind of exercise. So I personally think like a lot of exercise can be really beneficial, just like a lot of different kinds of diets.
I totally feel you. And just like, it's really cool to hear your perspective, you know, just because there's so much literature and data about like, oh, these diets work, these lifestyle options work, and like these supplements work. But like at the end of the day, the question you ask your patients is, what's most like realistic to you? What can you sustain? Because from what you said, PCOS is a lifetime condition. So like what do you enjoy? What do you like to do? And how can we support that, right? And that's just so cool to hear your point of view.
Yeah, because as you know, like working with patients is a totally different thing than like reading something in a book or on like online, you know, because everybody has their own like unique likes and dislikes. So yeah, I think it's really individual. And we don't want to be like, this is bad, even though, you know, one might be slightly better than the other, but we don't really even know that. They haven't done enough studies to be able to say, but it's just shown that all the exercise is good. You know, it's really all good. Yeah.
And then I know that you actually wrote a book. Is that right?
I did.
So like, do you actually talk about these options in your book?
I do. Yeah. My book has so many options, so many treatments for every single factor of PCOS. And there's, you know, everyone's a little different. Like some patients have a lot of insulin resistance, some really don't. So it really is important to understand like the kind of PCOS that someone has, because you could spend a lot of time doing the wrong thing that won't make any difference. And so my book does go through that, like all there's different factors and there's quizzes so you can identify which factors you have and then, you know, look at those chapters that really address what's going on in your case.
And for listeners out there, Dr. Fiona's book is called 8 Steps to Reverse Your PCOS. And then also, Dr. Fiona, you see patients in office, is that right? But do you see them via telehealth or is it just mainly in person?
I do both, actually. So yeah, we have a clinic in Toronto. It's called White Lotus Clinic. And I've been in practice 21 years. So we do in person and virtual as well. But we can only help people who are in Ontario, Canada, because of our regulations. But yeah, we do treat a lot of patients with PCOS and all types of hormone conditions.
I got to visit one day when I'm in Toronto.
Would love to have you come to the clinic and hang out. Toronto is such a great city.
Toronto is so cool. I remember, so I used to go to Vancouver a lot and then I visited Toronto for like a few days. And I was like, oh, the food scenes are so different. Vancouver is known for like really great Asian food. And then went over to Toronto thinking like, oh, it might be the same, but like it's Italian, like European food. Like, oh my gosh. When I'm there, we gotta go eat.
There's like so many different types of food. Like it's amazing. You know, there's Middle Eastern food, Asian food. Yeah. Mediterranean, every type. It's amazing. I grew up in Toronto and it's just such a multicultural city with so many different options. It's such an interesting place to live.
It's such a cool city and I definitely want to go back. But in the last 4 to 5 minutes of this podcast episode, are there some takeaways you want people with PCOS or just like our listeners in general, are there some takeaways you want them to take away with?
Yeah, so I would say the top thing is that don't get discouraged. PCOS is a very confusing condition, and a lot of providers even don't understand it very well. So if you feel like you're not getting the support you need, look for someone else, because not every provider really understands it. And sometimes you just have to find that right match. And then just keep looking and keep advocating for yourself. Don't give up, because there's a lot of help out there. Secondly, a lot of the symptoms do get better as you get older, because your testosterone goes down. So I always give that little bit of hope. Like, don't worry, it does improve with time. And there's so much that you can do to improve your health with this condition. So yeah, try and stay positive and look for, you know, help if you're not getting it with your current provider.
Thank you so much, Dr. Fiona, for your time. This was such an amazing conversation.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Dr. Bryant. So cool to be here.
Well, have an awesome day, my friend.
Thank you so much. Talk soon.
Wasn't that a great interview, guys? So it was really cool to just touch base on what PCOS is again, but from like the perspective, like a naturopathic endocrinologist. So it was really cool to hear like, yeah, like we do know that androgens play a role, but like how these like naturopathic options could be really supportive. It is so, so cool. So yeah, Dr. Fiona McCulloch's Instagram will be linked in the podcast description below, so make sure to connect with her. And she does have that book that we spoke about, The 8 Steps to Reverse Your PCOS. If you want to check that out, it's available as a physical book and also as an ebook on Amazon. So the Amazon link will be in the podcast description below. And if you do want to see her, if you're in Toronto, or as people from Canada say, Toronto, if you're from Toronto, we're going to put her website link in the podcast description below. But Dr. McCulloch, thank you so much. That was such an amazing interview. And next week, we're going to be diving more into skin health. So I'm really excited about that. See you guys.